The House Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee, which recessed this morning, February 17th, 2015. This is the 5 p.m. Continuance following that recess. I am also going to convene us as a subcommittee of the full committee. How are we going to proceed this evening? I'm going to limit each of you to 3 minutes of testimony. So please just get your main points down. We left off with opponents this morning, so we are now going to have a panel of proponents, and I'm going to try and go balance that back and forth as best I can with the numbers. Please also understand that a number of our committee members have other business this evening that they have to leave for. Some may go permanently, others may leave and come back. Your statement will be on the record. With that, committee members, anything additional to add? I'm not seeing any. With that, I'm going to reopen the public hearing on House Bill 2050 and House Bill 2181, the Cougar bills. We also have opened the record for any prospective Cougar bills as well. With that, I'm going to call up, please, Paul Askew, Craig Starr, and Bill Cluding. Good evening, gentlemen. Welcome to our committee. Since there's only two of you, I'm going to go to the next person on the list, which is Al Elkins, if he would like to testify this evening. Please decide among yourselves whose goes first. And again, three minutes. If you'd please identify your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Hunters Association. When we asked the committee to introduce this bill, we brought it forward, and we thought it was in the form of fairness to allow for the rural areas to vote on whether or not they wanted to be a part of this, and it was left up basically to the individual counties and the citizens within those counties, and those counties that are most affected by the lack of predator management in terms of cougars. So that's why we brought the bill forth. We thought it was a great compromise. We still do. However, I have an idea, and I'm going to take that idea, and it's not fully developed like most of my ideas, and I'm going to take it to the Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Okay.
And see if we can't further broaden that compromise, if you will.
All right.
And have further discussions with Mr. Scott and his people, and the process will start tomorrow morning.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Al, just so that we're clear, you're going to be talking to the group that met for lunch today?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. And I will once I run the idea by ODFW, Mr. Chair, Al Elkins again, I will see if it has any merit, and if it does, then I will run it by the full group and I will get with Mr. Scott one-on-one.
Thank you very much. And I want to tell you, like I've told others that have indicated that they want to find some middle ground in this. I so appreciate the organization that asked for the bill and brought this forward, suggesting that they are as interested in reaching common ground on this as anyone. Thank you for helping set the tone this evening.
You're welcome.
Gentlemen, welcome to our committee.
Chair of that committee, for the record, Bill Cluding, avid outdoor sportsman. House Bill 2050 and House Bill 2181 are good bills for rural Oregon. If you notice in Section 1, Line 2 and 3, the Oregon Department of Forest, Fish and Wildlife is involved in both these bills. I would like to just point out that of the big cats in the world, the cougar is probably number four for power, pound for pound. You hear of people escaping from a cougar or being attacked by a cougar, but I'll tell you that that cougar was not hungry. It was more or less a territorial spook. If that cougar would have been hungry, there's not a man in this room or a woman in this room could withstand one grown cougar. You've seen pictures of a cougar on TV, documented, jumping on an extremely large buck deer with big horns. And just within a minute, that deer is down and dying. Not only that, you've seen pictures of a bull elk with big horns, with a cougar breaking its neck with one swing of its paw. Again, I state, Oregon is extremely lucky. The last thing I want to see in the paper, the last thing I want to see this committee to see in the paper, is they find the remains of a human covered with some brush that they've been looking for days. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Chairman Witt, members of the committee, my name is Paul Askew. I'm an avid hunter, outdoorsman. My grandfather was a houndsman. Hunting cougar with hounds should be legally permissible. The Supreme Court has found that the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause is essentially a direction that all persons similarly situated should be treated alike. Considering that hound hunting for bobcats and raccoons is perfectly legal, there has to be a legitimate state interest that is not motivated by moral disapproval or political unpopularity. Moreover, commercial animal slaughter is arguably a more egregious form of animal harvest, yet is completely protected. It is my belief that laws targeting hunting are driven by urban political organizations like the HSUS that have made it clear that they have a baseline moral objection to hunting and hunting with hounds in particular. According to the U.S. Census, hunters comprise only 6% of Oregon's population. The anti-hunting lobby has targeted micro-populations of an already small minority group and marginalized them with laws like prohibitions against hunting bear and cougar with hounds. Remember, moral disapproval is not a rational basis for a legitimate state interest, and it is a clear violation of the Equal Protection Clause. The Supreme Court has been unequivocal on this point. Justice O'Connor explained in Lawrence v. Texas, a law branding one class of persons as criminal based solely on the state's moral disapproval of that class and the conduct associated with that class runs contrary to the values of the Constitution and the Equal Protection Clause under any standard of review. Justice O'Connor continues, when a law exhibits such a desire to harm a politically unpopular group, we have applied a more searching form of rational basis review to strike down such laws under the Equal Protection Clause. The 14th Amendment requires that hunting cougar with hounds be given the same protections that other methods of harvest receive. This includes other forms of hunting and trapping, especially considering that other forms of hound hunting are protected. This also includes commercial animal slaughter. There is no meaningful legal distinction between these similarly situated methods of animal use and harvest. In fact, the only meaningful difference between the two are stereotype and method, which are not justifications to deny equal access and protection of the law. That's my written portion. I believe I have a few more seconds. I'd like to just say that this is an emotional driven issue. I hear people call houndsmen, hunters, unethical. I take exception to that. Some of the finest people that I know are hunters. My grandfather was a hound hunter, and he was a damn good man.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Gentlemen, before you leave, a couple of items here. First of all, Mr. Askew, we were told by Craig Starr, who was going to appear for the Oregon Bowhunters, that he couldn't make it back tonight. Is it accurate for the record that you're speaking on behalf of Oregon Bow Hunters tonight?
No, it's not. I'm a member of Oregon Bow Hunters and several hunting organizations. I put that down.
Okay.
Just because I belong to several organizations.
Okay.
So
okay.
No, I'm a member of Oregon Bow Hunters.
Okay.
And I know that the friends that I have in Oregon Bow Hunters have the same sentiment.
All right, fine. Thank you for helping me to clarify the record. Committee members, are there any questions for this panel? Vice Chair Krieger, please.
Just, did you provide a copy of your testimony to the committee?
I certainly did. You've got I made 15 copies and gave it to Shelley, and independent of that, it's on the Oregon State Oregon Legislative site, and I believe that she copied it there as well.
She's nodding in the affirmative, so.
Okay.
I'm sure we have it.
Thank you very, very much,
no
gentlemen.
No problem, thank
appreciate
you. And please let this go on.
Thank you. Next, we will call up, please, Al LePage, Jane Miller, and Sue Hublein. Sue's not here. Okay. Terry Hass Rice. Welcome this evening. I apologize for making it necessary for you to come back this evening, but our witness list was so long it couldn't be avoided, and thank you for your interest in coming back this evening. Please decide among yourselves who proceeds.
Chair Witt, all members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to speak. A few months ago, I stood where Socrates defended himself to his Athenian citizens, where people voted in the assembly of ancient Greece, and democracy as we know it was born in the dawn of Western civilization. Today, I stand here to speak for democracy itself. In essence, the bills being considered here would allow counties to vote on opting out of an existing state law passed in 1994. In this specific instance, Measure 18 section banning the use of dogs to hunt cougars for sport. But my focus here today transcends the issue of hunting cougars with dogs as proposed. It has to do with the very heart of the democratic process, the right of the people to govern themselves. Though the place the Athenians actually met is impressive, it's not the place, but what happened there and how they governed themselves that's significant. Democracy in the Athens of ancient Greece was not limited to giving citizens of the assembly the right to vote. In a very real sense, the people governed themselves, debating and voting individually on issues great and small.
Sir?
Yes.
Please excuse me. Could you please identify yourself for the
record? Oh, Al LePage.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry for the interruption.
Very good. Thank you. The people govern themselves, debating and voting individually on issues great and small, as today's initiative and referendum process in Oregon allows our own citizens to propose measures and vote them into law. And as any citizen of the Assembly of Ancient Greece could, at any time, propose a change in the laws, in a similar way, Oregon's initiative process allows for the repeal of an existing law. And pertinent to today's hearing, Measure 34, which sought to repeal Measure 18 in 1996, was defeated, and defeated by a significant majority of the voters. Given all this, the will of the majority of Oregonians is clearly evident both as Measure 18 in creating the existing law and the failed attempt to repeal it through Measure 34. One of the important principles of Athenian legislation was that the laws of Athens were to apply to all citizens equally. If counties or any other jurisdictions are allowed to opt out of existing Oregon state laws, either Measure 18 or otherwise, then the accepted norm of any state law being universally applied throughout the state to all its citizens becomes meaningless. Therefore, if these bills continue to move forward, if these or any such opt-out bills were ever passed and actually signed into law, then it would set an unacceptable precedent, the democratic process itself jeopardized, and the phrase, "we the people," would also become meaningless. And so I have to see as the proper course of action opposing these bills, indeed, opposing bills of any such kind that would essentially begin to erode the very foundations of Oregon's democracy. As a citizen of Oregon, I'm asking you all to consider the serious implications these opt-out bills could have relative to existing state law and the democratic process in Oregon for generations to come. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mine's really short, so you don't even need the use of light.
Okay.
Chair Witt, members of the committee, my name is Terry Haas Rise. I'm a native Oregonian, and in 1994, I voted for Measure 18. I'm here today in opposition to the House Bills 2050 and 2181. I, too, am an avid outdoorsman. My daughter and I have horses. We spend a tremendous amount of time riding throughout Oregon in very remote areas. Never once have I ever seen a cougar. But if I had, it would be the fear of it would be the furthest thing from my mind. The fact is that no one, not a single person, has ever been killed in the state of Oregon. In fact, the number of cougar killings in the United States in the past 14 years or 100 years is less than 14. I further strongly oppose allowing individual counties to decide which voter-approved measures they want to follow. That is a slippery slope that will make future measures susceptible and voters cynical to the entire voting process. The best solution here is not to micromanage the cougar populations. My daughter and I, along with most Oregonians, like the idea of sharing our state with the abundant wildlife that includes our cougars. And I personally would like to see our lawmakers respect the voters in the state and to continue to write and process bills that benefit all Oregonians and not just a chosen few. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Witt and board members, I'm losing my voice. I apologize. My name is Jane Miller. I am a rancher from Klamath Falls area. I'm still ranching today, and a bioregionalist and director of Oregon Cougar Action Team. Sustainable economies are not built on the killing of animals. Hound hunting, dog fighting, and greyhound racing is what it is. Animal abuse in exchange for money, and it attracts crime and poaching. There is no way around this. Hound hunting has voted down twice. It creates a culture of animal abuse and crime we need to move away from. And it is not a sustainable answer to our cougar conflict issues. It actually exacerbates our safety issues. Director Jewell, the Department of Interior, has stated that for every dollar they invest in wildlife programs, they see $5 come back from wildlife watching USA-wide and exceeds hunting income by several million. This does not include the jobs that are created from wildlife watching. Human and livestock safety cougar conflict issues are best addressed by Dr. Wilgus's peer review of the ODFW-CMP, which is a cougar management plan, which states that killing more cougar creates cougar conflict issues. ODFW Dr. Jackson, the statistician Dr. Jackson, agrees with this and further elaborates that the dispersing young cougar who are raised by their mother are not the conflict issue cougars. It is the orphan cougar. And incidentally, more children are killed by pet domestic dogs across the United States, hundreds of them every year, and are also, as we all know, shot in our schools and are also dying from accidents with hunting. Of which I have stats there attached for you. Dr. Wilgus's review of our CMP, he clearly outlines the flaws to the science and the population model count. He further states that we must go back to the drawing board and start over and write a better cougar management plan in order to address the economic, sustainability, and environmental concerns of our cougar conflict and safety issues. He states that the very best resources to do this are right here in Oregon at Oregon State University, Professor William Ripple, Dr. Betchia, specialists in the trophic cascade issues and sustainable wildlife management. When we fix our CMP, we will save the taxpayers tens of thousands of dollars and experience less cougar conflict issues without opening the door to animal abuse and the crimes that come with it or usurping the voter's voice. There is no shame in poverty. There is shame and misery in a poverty that has been destroyed. When food and ecosystems suffer, there is no divide between rural and cities. Therefore, technically, there's no divide now. We live with for each other. In regards to our apex predators, ODFW has not adapted an ecosystem management approach that reflects the sound science and accurate cougar population model count that Oregonians deserve. Instead, they have a monoculture species designed for hunting, inadequately taking into account the full spectrum of diversity and ecological process that sustains and including the climate changing issues are not addressed. That needs to be part of this new cougar management plan. It makes no sense to manage our guild apex predators, the cougar, the wolf, and the bear, to genetics unsustainable numbers and usurping the voter's voice to do so. Our wildlife and dogs must not be turned into a commodity for hound hunters, poachers, and trophy hunting. That is not good business. Thank you very much.
Wow.
I know.
Right to the
Holy
second.
Cow.
Now, yeah, she not only had to practice, it was numerous
no,
times.
No, I rewrote this.
I mean, to I the second.
I rewrote this literally on 2 minutes after I left this. That's all I had to do because I had to get to work and then come back.
Well, good for you. thank you all very much for your testimony. Committee members, anything for this panel? Please, Representative Whitson.
I think those are all very good speeches, if you will. I especially was taken by the gentleman's speech about Socrates. It's very nice.
Thank you, Representative.
As was I. This panel did exceptionally well. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
With that, let's see here. I'm going to call up, please, Mike Murdoch and Tyke Murdoch.
Murdoch.
Okay.
Close enough.
That was your next guess, wasn't it?
Mike's not here this evening.
Okay.
Chair Witt, I appreciate having the opportunity to come in here this evening and you recess and giving us the opportunity to come back and speak.
Absolutely.
I'm not nearly as rehearsed as a lot of the people that here. I spent about 20 minutes of my time today to write this up, so please excuse me. I just sat in this morning and heard a lot of testimony going back and forth.
Could you give us your name just for the record?
Tyke Murdoch.
Thank you.
I heard of different things coming back and forth with ODFW and stuff. I think ODFW is doing the best they can with their scientific research on the funds they have. I think that sometimes when we're talking about how ODFW needs to turn out more scientific statistics and stuff, we tend to forget about our economy and where it is at this today in this age. We're talking about sport hunting as it was a bad thing this morning. It's kind of how I drew into it. And I've been hunting all my life, ever since I was a little kid. And I'm quite proud of hunting. And I enjoy the harvest on my dinner table as well. I heard ODFW testifying this morning about how they're spending upwards of $100,000 a year trying to regulate the cougar population, and basically they covered four counties, from what I understood from the conversation this morning. So I look over how many counties we have over the state of Oregon, which is numerous, and the hundreds of thousands of dollars it would take in order to try to regulate the problems that we have right now. And find out over that $100,000 was just taking out the trouble ones and trying to keep some peace in the urban areas. And seeing that those numbers are automatically back again after we've spent $100,000 to try to control it with the use of hounds as it is and other tools in the toolbox. So obviously that is not working and there's not enough control as there is now. So by enacting this law and this bill, I apologize, I look at a more of a controlled situation. I look at a situation to where I'm a pretty plain feller, and I understand numbers fairly well. And if you tell me that we're paying out of our taxpayer dollars $100,000 a year to have hound hunters that are regulated by the state to do it for $100,000, or you can have me pay you, the state, to come in to be able to go hound hunting. And with our economies the way they are, I think that makes perfect sense to me. It's a state trying to be responsible. I lived for quite a few years over in northern Idaho, where they come to a balanced budget every year. They do responsible things, such as allow hound hunting and pay the state money in order to be able to hound hunt instead of paying other people's to come out and hound hunt. I think being able to allow county by county voting cures a lot of this problem, because I think part of the problem that we get into is, like, what's been stated is 8% And I've heard numbers closer to 6% are hunters in Oregon.
You're just about out of time here.
My light's still green.
I understand. We had a technical difficulty here.
Okay.
He's got a terrible timekeeper. I apologize.
Okay, so I'll wrap it up then. By allowing county to county do this, it allows the rural voters an opportunity to do something that you can't normally do, because most of our voting are in these huge cities where most of the voters are. It doesn't, you know, the massive part of the votes come from them. Well, that doesn't touch the urban areas that are having these problems, not like downtown Portland. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Any questions for Mr. Murdoch? I'm not seeing any, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And my apologies to making you have to come back this evening as well.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Last witness that I have signed up is Emily Ayu. Did I get that close?
Yes, Ayu, just like it's
thank you.
Spelled.
All right. Welcome to our committee.
Thank you. Chair Witt, members of the committee, I thank you for this opportunity to testify. I'm back here again from, I returned home after this morning and then just really felt that I needed to come back. So,
could you tell us your name, please?
Emily Ayu.
Thank you.
Speaking in front of a group is a difficult thing for me to do, especially when it's concerning this issue. And every session, you guys see similar bills to circumnavigate Measure 18. Over 12 years ago, I sat in a similar meeting, petrified as a college student, to share my objection of similar bills to basically repeal Measure 18. And as I walked back to my seat, it was a very crowded room, and as I walked back to my seat, I was told to get the hell out of Oregon. And I was very shaken up by that, and I was afraid to walk back to my car, and I cried all the way home. But I'm still here. And oftentimes people use the fact that this is an emotional issue, but if intimidation and bullying, yes, it does produce an emotional response. This is kind of it's a hard thing to stand up for predators. So at the time I was a PSU student studying environmental history, and I developed a deep love for Oregon and its rich history. My husband has his degree in biology, and he and I spend a huge amount of time outdoors. We love wildlife photography, bird watching, camping, and mountain biking. My husband's a very passionate fisherman. He lives to fish. We spent a lot of time in Hood River, Wasco, Deschutes, Lane, and Malheur counties. And just because we make our living and live in Clackamas County doesn't mean we don't know what's out there in rural Oregon or the Oregon wilderness. And we've always felt that hound hunting is a very cruel practice, and the majority of Oregonians believe that it is too, and we voted twice to ban hound hunting of cougars. And this is not about public safety or cougar management. This is about hound hunting for sport. And I would just please urge you to protect Measure 18 and the will of the voters and our valuable initiative process. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Anything for Ms. Ayu this evening? Thank you so much. And certainly there are places in Clackamas County that are as some of the far reaches of our state would be hard-pressed to be any more rural or countrified than that. And I think you make a very good point. My concern, Emily, and it troubles me. I'm hopeful that the person who said what they said to you did not occur today, that was a previous hearing.
Oh, correct. That was 12 years ago.
Not to excuse that, but I felt good this morning that there was a respect from both sides.
It was a very different environment than that hearing was.
Well, for that I'm very thankful.
So am I.
And I'm very thankful for your appearance here tonight. I frankly have heard some of the best testimony this evening that I think I've heard this session so far. So I don't know if it's because you all stayed late and felt that you had to make that powerful impact at the end of the hearing, but it's all been very, very good. Anything for this witness? I'm seeing none. Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to call forward, please, Scott Bextud. Scott, there were a number of you who, in response to my request, that those of you who indicated a willingness to move towards the center, I think, had lunch together this afternoon, which I think is an amazing feat in and of itself. I'm not sure that folks would have lunched together back, was it 12 years ago, Emily, however long it was?
Might have thrown lunch at each other.
They might have thrown lunch at each other, a food fight. But I am very encouraged that the citizens of this state who feel impassioned about two sides of this story were able to sit down, break bread together, and hopefully move towards the middle. My question to you is now, is there room for a work group on this topic? And do you think that it would be fruitful for me to ask for one?
Chair Witt, members of the committee, I think the answer to your both questions is yes. Our conversation this afternoon after the hearing was very preliminary. It was, it was a first conversation. Now, a first conversation about cougars. I've been working with, Stan and Al on, we stood together on the drone bill. We still, we're working together on the poaching bill. The one thing that we all have in common is that we all love wildlife, and we all want to see Oregon's wildlife cherished. And it may be for different reasons, and we may be coming at it from different angles, but that's probably the most important common ground I think you can find. I would say that what sort of emerged as a theme that it seemed like we can all get behind is the recognition that we need to make sure we're looking at that we're using the very best available science to understand Oregon's cougar population. You know, on the issue of hound hunting cougars, there's a great divide, and whether that divide, it is a cultural divide, it is a social divide, and can that be bridged? I don't know, but I feel like there is good faith in the conversation, a genuine sort of curiosity among all of us to try and understand. I mean, there were great questions from Ty Stubblefield at me, sort of trying to understand where I'm coming from, and I felt like it was very genuine. So I feel like there's at least a basis for moving forward. I would like to continue the conversation, and nothing is guaranteed, and maybe we get to a point where we shake hands and go back to our rings and come back out ready to slug it out. But I was encouraged, and I like all of the people that were in this group. I like them all individually. I think that they all treated me with respect, and so I would say, yeah, let's see what happens.
And for the record, in addition to yourself, there were hunting group representatives. There was a representative. I don't know if it was anyone from the cattlemen. Did Bill Hoyt, was he able to make it?
Bill and Jim were both there.
So
yeah.
So we had we truly had both sides of these bills, I think, present there. And you're suggesting that folks want to talk.
Right. I think so. And Stan and I spoke briefly afterwards, and I think we agreed that it makes sense to continue the conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sincerely. Anything for Mr. Beckstead? What I'm going to do is I'll have to wait until tomorrow to contact the other members that met, but I'm going to ask that you continue those discussions. And I'm going to suggest that you and Stan Steele be the public members that head this up. I'm going to ask that Representative Frederick, to the extent that he has time, and if there are any other members of this committee that would like to join in those discussions, that they please make themselves known, and we'll try and make them part of that discussion. Now, I have had discussions with Mr. Gallagher, and we're asking every work group, and I think this committee probably has the capital record for the number of work groups that are underway. But I'm asking that the last Thursday of the month, we have a report back from each of the groups as to the progress that they're making or not. That will then help us to make some very critical decisions at that juncture, whether we continue with the work group process or, gosh knows, we have to go our separate ways or whatever. But if that is at all possible and you can accomplish that, I would be most grateful.
I certainly think it's worth a try.
Thank you so much for your willingness to do this.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to testify?
I'll step up to the plate.
Okay. This will be the last and final call this evening. So if there's anyone else, I'm going to ask you to come forward at this time. Otherwise, this will be the last witness.
Yeah, come again.
Then I have to let the whole... I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that.
I thought it was worth it.
That's a slippery slope.
Absolutely. Welcome to our committee.
Oh, thanks for having me. Appreciate the opportunity to speak. My name is Grant Jackson. I just found out about this hearing today. I didn't have time to prepare any statements. I came here out of curiosity and out of kind of a supreme desire to protect wildlife. I too am a hunter. I've been hunting since I was probably 10 or 11 years old. My father bought me a rifle when I was a kid, and I come from the East Coast, and I can totally understand what one of the speakers was saying about the native Oregonian kind of outlash. But when you look at history, everybody came from the East Coast, so that's a moot point with me. Anyway, I'm here to speak on behalf of the apex predators. This state and this coast, this area of the country, this area of the world has the most beautiful vistas, the most beautiful wildlife. It is a gem to be cherished and protected. Like I said, I come from the East Coast. There's the population density. Those things were lost a long time ago, and to a lot of people's dismay, and the people of Oregon have an opportunity to continue to protect this land for what it is. It's admired the country over. I've been all around the country. People love this place, even though they don't live here. And I don't know. I just wanted to come in. Like I said, I don't have a lot of statements. I didn't have time to really prepare. But I think with all due respect to the people that are in favor of these bills, it would be a shame to have that species. I don't know. It seems like it would be a desecration on that species. Hound hunting is... It gives those predators no chance. I've seen the videos on TV. I mean, it's not a fair fight. I'm a resident here. I'm a taxpayer. I'm a voter, and I urge you guys to stop this bill from proceeding forth. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your testimony, and we'll have a work group that
that starts these discussions. And I thank everyone who participated in these hearings for the exceedingly respectful manner in which you conducted yourselves. You made this state proud, and I thank you for that. And Mr. LePage, I hope going forward that whatever the outcome is of this work group, that we are able to make Socrates proud. With that, I am going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2050, House Bill 2181, and any of the prospective Cougar bills. Thank you all very much. Thank you all very much.